Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Hi, listeners. Welcome back. I'm Nedra Glover-Tawab, and you need to hear this. This week, we have a very interesting call about a sibling relationship. If you are the only child, you will appreciate this episode because you will be like, thank goodness. But for those of us who have siblings, you know that there are times where the relationship can be rocky. And when you have that rocky relationship with a sibling, it often impacts the relationship with your parent. Some of us have amazing relationships with our siblings. It can look like a real friendship. You know, there is this understanding of who you are. There's this mutual support. And then there are others where perhaps you're dealing with some resentment in the relationship, some undiagnosed mental health issues. Perhaps there has been situations where this person has always been enabled or they have a codependent relationship with your parent. There are all sorts of things that can happen to damage or destroy those sibling relationships. So today's letter, we will be going through situations that involve a family member who has a mental health issue that is undiagnosed or diagnosed, but certainly not being treated. There are many times where we may feel like, oh my gosh, you know, if this person was getting treatment, they would be better. But I want to tell you that sometimes even when people are getting treatment, they're going to therapy, maybe even taking medication, you may not see those changes in the relationship. And that's not to discourage anyone from pushing a sibling or loved one to do that. But people come to their own agreements in the treatment process. And sometimes those things that you have an issue with aren't the things that they're treating. Sometimes people know that they have certain mental health things going on and they don't want the treatment. It's all a very complicated part of life. And in today's call, we will listen as a loved one talks about their relationship issues with a family member who is not getting help but truly needs it. Let's get into today's message.
Hi, my name is Casey. I am 32 years old. My question has to do with how to set boundaries with someone who is affecting you in your life negatively, that is a family member. But the caveat is they suffer from mental illness. So my brother is 33 years old. He's suffered from mental illness for the last probably 12, 13 years now. He's never really been compliant with therapy or treatment despite efforts on our family's behalf. Some diagnoses that come to mind are bipolar disorder, anxiety, mania, depression, but more recently, borderline personality disorder. I will add that I am a nurse practitioner, so I do have a general knowledge of mental illness and treatments available, although my knowledge and suggestions are not taken seriously by my family, it seems, which is another thing. So my brother can be very verbally, mentally, and emotionally abusive. Just whenever he's in a bad place, he'll reach out, and I seem to be his main target. He has a lot of resentment towards me for, I guess, not being mentally ill and deemed successful and healthy in his eyes. So I feel like I'm constantly berated for it and unprovoked at that. So there's been several times throughout the last 2 years that the behavior is getting worse and I've had to block him as it was interfering with my relationship with my then fiance, now husband.
There were a few mental health diagnoses thrown around here. I think many of us may be familiar with what anxiety is, maybe what depression is, but there was a personality issue sort of thrown around here. And I will say with personality diagnosis, it can be very challenging for a person to want to own that because your personality is your personality, right? And so now we're saying this person's behaviors of blaming others, being really reactive, has manifested themselves as an overall personality. That is a very big thing for your brother to address. And without the proper therapist, he may have a hard time understanding what that actually means for his relationship. So when you say he has borderline personality disorder, I wonder how you treat him based on that label. Are you looking at the symptoms or are you looking at the label of what that means? And when I say the label, I mean, you know, we know that people who have this diagnosis, they may be a little more self-absorbed. They have chronic issues with relationships, gaslighting and lying and all of these sorts of things. And we attribute it to, oh, this person is borderline. They can't get any better. They can't learn anything. You know, with any diagnosis, oh, this person is anxious. Oh, this person is that. They have no agency. But let me tell you something. Your brother has a diagnosis, and that diagnosis is not who he is. He still has some agency. And what I'm hearing is with that agency, he is choosing not to be in care. He's not getting any help with some of these things that he's been diagnosed as having. I wonder if a diagnosis can be accurate when you're in and out of care, when you have multiples, when you have bipolar disorder, anxiety, mania, depression, and borderline. Like, what is true of that? Has he even built a relationship with a therapist who might be able to say, you know, I'm noticing some attachment issues here. Now, you know, formally we may call that borderline, but what I'm seeing is an insecure attachment style. I'm noticing that sometimes you get really sad when people don't respond to you in a certain way, and it leads to this depression. Without him being in care, those connections cannot be made. And so all you may see on the outside is all of the behaviors that are untreated. Here's the thing. You noted that the mental illness is a caveat, which prompted me to think of a whole list of caveats we could come up with. You know, the caveat is he has mental illness, right? And I'm thinking other caveats. They suffer from mental illness. They suffer from addiction. They had a hard childhood. They're not as smart as me. Like any life circumstance, to some extent, we could say, oh, you know, this person is treating me this way because they didn't make the baseball team. This person is treating me this way because of whatever, right? When in actuality, to some extent, there is some choice in how they treat other people. Now, of course, we think about emotional regulation. We think about, you know, factors of trauma and all of these things, which will guide our choices. But ultimately, if it were true that people who had mental illness mistreat others, everyone with depression, anxiety, borderline, or bipolar would mistreat people. That is not the case. Your brother in particular, separate from his diagnosis, is mistreating you. He's being verbally, mentally, and emotionally abusive to you. Is mental health a factor there? Yeah, potentially. However, it's not like it has to cause these behaviors that you're seeing with him. So because he's not addressing his stuff, because he is not getting treatment, this is the manifestation of who he is in your life, to the point it is interfering with your relationship with your fiance. I recently read an article in the Psychotherapy Networker magazine just talking about how we can take a diagnosis and really start to see the person from the lens of the diagnosis. So if they have generalized anxiety disorder, we push it to that. Oh, they're doing this because they're anxious. They're doing this, or this is how I have to treat them because they have depression, or this is how I have to treat this person because they are borderline, or this is the behavior they're able to, you know, exhibit in my life. I have to make space for that. When in actuality, there's choice on both sides. You know, you get to choose what your boundaries are, and your brother, to some extent, gets to choose whether or not he wants treatment for his issues. When we come back from break, I'm hoping we'll hear more about the boundaries you're establishing in this relationship with your brother.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today. by visiting musicgives.org.
There's been several significant events recently throughout the last few years in my life that he has had to put on a show or sabotage and shift the attention on him. Some things that come to mind were my master's degree, graduation from nurse practitioner school, me getting engaged, me getting married, and most recently, my husband and I found out that we are expecting, and what do you know, yet again, another outburst group message to the whole family, attacking everyone. So at present, he is blocked, but the caveat is he does have mental illness, and I am aware of that, which makes it really difficult for me to stick to and reinforce my boundaries for me to have a better life. I will say that his behavior has significantly affected my family in general, and to an extent, my growing family with my husband, to the point where my husband refuses to have anything to do with my brother and will barely tolerate my mother because of her enabling him.
When dealing with someone who has an addiction or a mental illness, it can be very peaceful for us to offer them some grace. And also, we have to hold our boundaries with them. You can love people by placing boundaries, and that is a way for you to take care of yourself in harmful situations. I'm hearing that this mental illness is causing lots of toxicity in your relationship with your husband, to the point that he doesn't even want to be around your mother and your brother, and even in your relationship with your mother. I wonder, what do you need from your mother? You know, much of this is focused on your brother, but now I'm hearing that because your mother is very codependent with your brother, I'm sure that there is something missing in her relationship with you. How do you address with your mom what your needs are in the relationship with her? Could it be that it would be helpful for her to stay out of your interactions with your brother? How do you speak that to your mother? Mom, I understand you're trying to be helpful and you love your son. I wouldn't have it any other way for you. However, as my brother, things are very damaging between the two of us. So I would love it if you stayed out of it. Have you declared that to your mother? Have you set that boundary with her? Because I'm sure the level of guilt tripping that she's giving you is causing you to get back into this cycle of verbal, emotional, you know, abuse with your brother. So part of it is you'll have to set boundaries, not just with your brother, but also with your mother. Now you have two teammates. You have, you know, your dad who is understanding of the situation, and you have your husband. So you do have some support for placing these boundaries with your brother. One of the things that I hear you saying over and over is he's mentally ill and he doesn't mean it. How do you know he doesn't mean it? How do you know that? I think sometimes we assume that people don't want to hurt us when they're doing hurtful things, right? It's like, they're not trying to hurt me by cursing me out. Well, what are they trying to do? what are they trying to do? I think that is the intention behind it. They are trying to hurt you. So we have to acknowledge and be honest with ourselves that sometimes people really are trying to hurt us, and they do mean it. They want to see us sweat. They want to see us sad. Is the intention behind it pure? Absolutely not. Maybe it's because they're hurt. Maybe because they want to see some reaction out of us, but they are intending to do it. So giving your brother this level of escape from any responsibility isn't helpful for your boundary setting process. If your goal here is to improve your boundaries in the relationship with your brother, you can offer him grace without giving him excuses for poor behavior. You can say, wow, my brother has had a really difficult time with mental health. Wow, he is not at the point where he is ready to receive the help. I hope he gets the help that he needs. It doesn't mean that in the process of him dealing with this stuff, you have to be his primary target for abuse and neglect of the relationship. Even if he gets help, you know, I spoke about this at the top of this, even if he gets help, it may not be helpful for what you need to see from him. His help might be him becoming employed, him having a better relationship with your mother. You can't even control what the help in his life could look like. He'll even determine that because, once again, he has choice. So this idea that, if he would just go to therapy, he would be such a nicer person. I'll tell you what, one time I was talking to a person who has some mean tendencies. They too have these, you know, emotional outbursts and they're verbally abusive and, you know, they can be really aggressive. And I was saying something about therapy and they revealed to me they've been going to therapy for 2 years. And I said, oh my gosh, this person has been going to therapy and they were making fun of the therapy process. They had to go to therapy to get other supports and resources in their life. And I was just like, oh my gosh, therapy is not a cure for people who don't want the help. Therapy is not a cure for people who don't want to make certain changes in their life. I've done therapy with folks who are mandated to go and they're there because they want whatever service they have to go for. They don't want to be on probation or they don't, you know, whatever. They want to maintain housing or whatever it is. Some of those folks, they take it, they use it as a tool and they really grow. And others, it's just something to do with their time because they have to do it. So telling someone, hey, if you go to therapy, you know, all these behavior issues you have, they will be resolved. That is not true. You may need therapy to deal with the codependency in your family, to deal with the resentment that you likely have towards your mother and your brother. Your mother is overparenting one child. I don't know if she's underparenting you, but she's certainly doing a lot for your brother. How do you feel about that? How does that impact the relationship with your mother? You're trying to figure out a way to place these boundaries with your brother, but it's going to be you placing these boundaries also with your mother, with your child in mind. With this idea that your marriage is now being impacted by your relationship with your brother. I'm sure your mental health is being challenged by having to always be in these chaotic dynamics with your mom, your brother, your mom. That impacts your mental health. So I know this is about your brother's mental health, but you have mental health as well. You have needs for your relationships, and that's as important as anybody else's needs mentioned in this letter. You are valued. You are important. Your needs also need to be met in your relationships.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Let's listen to this last part.
So additionally, there's a lot of resentment from me towards my mom in the way that she has handled him in the last 12 years and enabled him. Their relationship is very codependent. So there's multiple layers to this situation. We do have a very small family. My father and I are on the same page as my parents are divorced, and my mother has sheltered, clothed, fed, and supported my brother 100% over the last 12 years or so. He's barely kept down a job or lived independently at all, for that matter. But my mother will often try to mediate the relationship between my brother and I and guilt trip me by saying things like, well, you know that he's mentally ill and he doesn't mean it, and all he needs is love from his sister. So there's also an immense amount of pressure on me to fix him or support him or constantly communicate with him. But it's very one-sided. Like, he'll never reach out to family members until he's having an episode. And then no one loves him, no one cares about him, woe is me. So on and so forth. And then the rest of the family are terrible. But most of the behavior is directed towards me, his younger sister, for whatever reason. And I'm just trying to simply live my life. But it seems like everything I do is in spite of him, and that he's personally affected by it in some way, or it's a personal diss towards him. So I'm really struggling again to reinforce these boundaries just because of the simple fact that I am aware that he is mentally ill, so that there's a gray area there. And then my mom, her saying things like, oh, it's killing me, you and him not talking, especially now that I'm expecting with the first grandchild. So this is really affecting my relationship with my mom. So yeah, I'm just having a really difficult time, and I don't know how to proceed. I have listened to a lot of your podcasts and read a good amount of your book, Drama Free, which I find is very helpful, especially the sibling chapter. But it seems there haven't been any examples thus far about any type of behavior from someone who is suffering from borderline personality disorder or manic depressive disorder. I'll also add that, you know, I've suggested and set up appointments for him in the past that he's never followed through with. And, you know, over and over again, he'll say things to me like, why won't you help me? And, you know, it's just impossible to figure out what help looks like to him. And I just don't think it is achievable. So this is an immensely stressful situation. You know, I'm trying to focus on my new career growth and my own growing family, and I just need a little bit of clarity surrounding this. So any insight or discussion from this would be really helpful.
Turn your page to the hymnal drama-free on page 115. There is some information on the impact of mental health issues on relationships. In this portion of the book, I talk about whether the issue is diagnosed and being treated, or if it is undiagnosed and you suspect a person might be having anxiety, depression, and all of these things. I thought it was important to include that in the book because there are times where our mental health issues impact our relationships, particularly when we're not addressing the challenges we're having. We all have challenges. You know, it's not just your brother. You have your own stuff going on. And what's really helpful is when you try to be aware of and work through your stuff so that it's not spilling over into your relationships with people. Also, in that portion of the book on page 117, I talk specifically about personality issues and how those impact relationships with our loved ones. In families, there is this idea that you have to tolerate stuff because it is family, because it is your brother, and he has been diagnosed with depression, you should tolerate it. Whatever that manifestation of his depressed episodes or his behaviors, his explosions, you should tolerate it because it's your brother. When in actuality, there has to be some allowance for people to say, enough is enough. This is now impacting my mental health. I'm going to be depressed because this person is mistreating me. I'm anxious about being around them. I am now avoiding them because of all of these things that are happening in our relationship. The thing with mental health issues is we do have to look at it. We should have that grace toward, you know, someone having, you know, maybe depression or anxiety, and we need to deal with the behavior. One day I was on my way home from work, and there was a guy at the light asking for change, but he was doing it very aggressively. He was yelling in people's cars. He was like waving his hands like he was gonna fight people. You know, he was tapping on people's windows, and I said, whoa. This is more than people typically sign up for when they stop at a light. And so I called the police, and the first thing I said was, there is someone at the light. I believe he has a mental health issue. I want that to be clear. This is a mental health call, but he is being aggressive about asking people for money and for change. I wanted them to know that because I wanted them to keep it in mind and also come see about this situation. I don't want you to ignore the situation because he has a mental health issue. I want you to still address it, but I want you to do that with the thought of, oh my gosh, this is not just a person being violent. There is something here that maybe we need to say. There's a particular way we need to address the situation. We don't need to be on guard in certain ways. We need to know that this person is dealing with some things and their mental health is not being managed. That is the way that you walk into that situation. You don't ignore the situation. That's not helping all of these folks who are having their windows tapped on and being yelled at. That's not helpful. So when we think about, oh my gosh, this person has, you know, this challenge and I have to have grace for it, or I have to deal with it, or I have to be in relationship with them, we have to think about what that relationship can look like with a person who is not receiving treatment? What can that relationship look like when the person may be receiving treatment and they still aren't improving? You get to decide that. That's where your boundaries come into play. So with your brother, it might be, hey, you're blocked, but maybe every 3 months, I'll give you a call. I'll call you every 3 months just to check on you. It could also look like I unblock you and you can just call me and, you know, yell at me whenever you want to. Or it could look like maybe if you don't seem calm when I answer the phone, I will say that, hey, you're not calm. Let me give you a call back. There are all sorts of things you can do in this relationship if you want to have it. And really, it's about figuring out what thing could work that will cause you the least amount of emotional frustration. Because right now, you're in a situation where you're completely in or you're completely out. So I'm blocking you or I'm all in the relationship. Perhaps what you want is to do a little dance around having some sort of connection or contact, and really trying to manage what that connection and contact can look like. If you know that he sporadically calls and has these outbursts, then it might be appropriate to some extent to say, hey, you just can't freely call me. And you can place boundaries around what that could look like. You know, that could be, again, you blocking him. It could be, you know, you calling him on some sort of periodic basis. You could even say something like, you know, every Sunday we'll talk. You figure out what that looks like and what could be helpful for you. In the relationship with your mother, there also needs to be some boundaries placed. You need to talk to her about what can and what cannot happen. You know, the truth of it is your brother may change tomorrow. He might not change. He might change in a year. He might change in 5 years. We don't know. And what you're dealing with is what's happening today. What happened last week? What happened 1 month ago? Until you see some changes and you see those things done consistently, I don't know if it makes sense for you to continue to put yourself in these situations where you're feeling this level of emotional damage. I know it's your brother, but it sounds like you are very clear, like, oh, this is having a significant impact on my life. It's having a significant impact on my relationship. And guess what? When you have this baby, it's going to have a significant impact on your relationship with your child because you'll be parenting with this spirit that you have now. So if you want to feel better about this situation, it may not be waiting for your brother to go to therapy and get help and, you know, all of this support. It's going to be you making some changes in the relationship. You need to hear this. Giving someone a resource is help. Pointing them in the right direction, offering them a book, suggesting therapy, those are all ways to help. Your job is not to cure them. Sometimes we think that the cure for their issue is us doing something to make them better, but just setting something in their lap, offering them the tools is the help. That is a resource. You do not have the power to make them do anything with the resources you offer. I know that's hard, and I know it's particularly hard when it is family, because there is this idea that you are powerful enough to overcome this thing with them. And the demonstration of, oh my gosh, maybe I'm not power enough, is the frustration, the resentment, the boundary issues, the panic, the anxiety that you start to experience having to deal with a person who does not want your help. They don't want resources. You can still be in relationship with them, but it's important for you to figure out how to be in relationships with people who are not ready to change. You Need to Hear This is an iHeart production hosted by me, Nedra Glover-Tawab. Our executive producer is Joelle Bonique. Our senior producer and editor is Mia Dawn Taylor. Send us a voice memo with your questions about boundaries and relationships at youneedtohearthis@iheartmedia.com. Right now, I'm really interested in hearing more stories from parents who are estranged from their children. Also, people who are having marriage issues. I don't know about you, but I feel like I am in this space in life where I'm hearing more and more about, you know, marriages and women initiating divorce. So I am really interested in hearing more about some of your marriage issues and self-sabotage. What are you struggling with? What are some of the things that you find really hard to do? What are your barriers? What are your blocks? I'd love to hear more on three things: estrangement, marriage issues, and self-sabotage.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.